Okay, I have 2 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Thursday, April 8th, 2021 meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board meeting. And I'd like to call the meeting to order with this. And Osana, if you would provide us with the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you. And if everyone would join me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And in establishment of a quorum, we have all five directors present. So we have our quorum. And on agenda item 1D, next, we have a president's report. And there are a couple of things of information that I want to bring to you. One is directors will be aware of this already by having gotten a notification of a potential special meeting on Tuesday. But the purpose of that is related to documentation that we had gotten from Salud Carvajal's office, who is our 24th district representative. And it has to do with community project funding through the annual appropriations process. And he can submit up to 10 projects within that process for the appropriations. Of course, it's for the district as a whole. So you can imagine there are going to be quite a few that are going to be submitted. The significance of the meeting on Tuesday has to do with the fact that the deadlines for the programmatic and language requests for them are due April 21st through the 23rd. So in other order to facilitate that and provide the opportunity for the staff to feed that process, we needed to be able to have a meeting to consider the submittals of things for the appropriations request to his office. Fortunately, there are a number of things in it that have at least an opportunity for us, both in water and wastewater. The clean water and wastewater area has wastewater treatment plants, stormwater management, water security, and that has to do with physical upgrading for physical security of infrastructure. Water reuse projects involving municipal reuse of recycling of wastewater, stormwater, or subsurface drainage water. Equipment to reuse effluent, in other words, for items related to gray water, condensation, wastewater, effluent reuse systems. So the opportunity for things for us would be excellent, particularly with the STS program for potential fundings. So that's what the intent is for that special meeting that we'll be calling on Tuesday. And I appreciate the feedback that has come to staff about availability of folks for that date. Mr. Carmel has obligations in AG that day for his other duties, and so I believe Mr. Hirsch is going to be joining us for that. Okay, excellent. So a great opportunity. I hope we have the chance to sell our need. The next thing I'd like to refer to has to do with the flume information that was just recently posted. This has to do with the Intelligent Leak Detection Project, the flume smart water system rebates. Now, we've already had one opportunity for this that was brought to us, which everyone who could apply took advantage of. And this is the phase two of that same process. So the rebates, we're going to be able to start making application from the community by community members starting the week of April 12th. And there's going to be a link to purchase directly from Flume at CCSD's discounted rate, and that's going to be available on our website. So all you need to do is to take advantage of the offer by providing your CCSD utility account number during the process application. This is something that I know several people who have them swear by these in terms of having visibility to water conservation. And I think it's an excellent opportunity, for instance, to consider this as part of water conservation by members of the community, even outside this rebate process, if you were so inclined. The systems normally are $199 through Flume, but with this process, there's a discounted rate to $75 plus tax and shipping. And then once they've validated that it's actually been installed at your Cambria property, there's another $25 rebate against that. So basically, your out-of-pocket cost on this would be $50, which is an excellent opportunity.
Impressive.
So I bring that to the attention of the community so that they'll be aware of it and be in interest, be able to make application. Director Gray, was there something
Yeah, there's
you
a question on that. Last time I remember, there was a limited number of rebates, I think maybe 50. How many are there this time?
Right. And let's see, Melissa is not with us. I could assume, I guess, that there would be 100 of them available in the same way that there was before, but
100?
that
Okay,
is a
100,
guess
yeah.
on my part right now. Mr. Weigold, is there, do you have the specific number that would be available in this phase two?
I don't, but it's about a similar number as last time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. The third thing I just wanted to mention was I took the opportunity to put a president's report of information to John Robar for the CambriaCA.org website. And if you haven't had an opportunity to see that, you may want to take a look. One thing is that unfortunately, one of the website listings for the linkages, the last one that was part of that posting by them, had misstated the website address. It was OR instead of ORG, but they and had a conversation with Mr. Robar, and I know that they were planning on going in and making the change to that. So there, it shouldn't hopefully create too much confusion for anyone. So that's what I have in terms of the president's report for this time around. And what I'd like to do then is go ahead and go to the next item on the agenda.
Brett, let's find
Yes.
out. So, in follow-up to that question, so the number of rebates that are available for the Flume are 121.
Oh,
Excellent.
thank you.
That's even better news.
Thank you. That's good. Yes.
Okay, item 1E, which is agenda review. Any additions or deletions? Do any of the board members have additions or deletions regarding today's agenda? All right, seeing none, what I'll do then is move on to item two, board member communications. The result of this is the result of a conversation that we had a couple of board meetings ago about being able to have a placing of an area where board members could make a comment if they had local points of interest, information, or announcements of certain kinds of meetings and things. So I am opening that up to board members. Do any have any communication items that they would like to provide? Director Farmer, you're still muted. Still muted.
Thank you,
Okay.
Idell, and I hope everybody is enjoying this lovely day, no matter where you're attending from. I just want to point out something, and since we're talking about making this brief, I'm going to perhaps make it as a future agenda item at the end. But I just want to point out the need for water conservation, not just among the residential members of our community, but also with regard to the business interests in our town. you know, tourism is increasing. Even the, some of the businesses have reported that. And water availability is obviously not going to increase on the horizon. So I think this is something that, the, like I say, the members of the community and the district and the board need to address. And I just wanted to bring that up right now. And I will bring it up again as a future agenda item at the end of the meeting. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Vice President Howell, did you have something? I thought I saw him. Okay. Any other board members? All right. I don't see any, and I don't see any hands up. So that moves us on to our commission report, which is the PROS chairman report. And I see that Mr. Niffen is here with us. Steve, would you like to give us the PROS chairman's report, please?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'll be shorter than longer. We could be longer because there's things that we could talk about that we talked about at the last PROS meeting in a larger context to the community in regards to how we're going to pay for everything and the fact that there's no money. So there's an elephant in the room that we're not going to talk about, but we're not afraid of that discussion. So we're going to keep having that discussion at the PROS meetings because it's probably the best place to have that discussion in an open and frank way as we talk about different ways to fund the things we like to do in town. I know that ex-CCSD member Pearson at the meeting proposed a way of financing things that was way beyond me, but those concepts need to be considered as we try to figure out how we are going to pay for all of the things that are coming down the road. So enough said with that. That being said, on a positive note, we've got a signed contract. If you read President Seidel's presentation in Cambria CA, that was a great layout technically of what we've got going on with the skate park. From a layman's point of view, as a fourth grader, we've got a signed contract. The guy's coming up from LA. He's going to help us design this project. There's going to be a couple of meetings. We'll need the CCSD to help facilitate those meetings in a community member, in a community manner. But we really want to make sure that the kids and that group of people that have raised that money really have a say in the design of this project. And then that puts the onus back onto the grownups again. Once we design this project, we need to make sure all of our grant funding is in place in-house. Mr. Weigold told us that at the last meeting that it doesn't look like we need a grant writer for this thing. It's a pretty easy application. And all we really need is the permission of the CCSD board to go forward with this thing. So we want the board to be on board with making sure that we've got all our P's and Q's in place in regards to this grant and that we don't lose out on that and that we just continue down this road. In the next couple of weeks, we should have something on paper to move forward with. Other than that, I think that's it. There you go. Any questions?
Do any of the board members have any questions? Director Farmer?
Thank you. By the way, I see that General Manager Weigold has his hand up if he'd like to speak first.
Jim Weigold?
I just wanted to add on from a pro standpoint that the Santa Rosa Creek Trail, which is the one that runs between the rodeo grounds and behind the wastewater treatment plant, is currently closed as a result of the storm damage in January. Carlos has been reposting the closed trail sign regularly as people keep tearing that down. It's a very unsafe trail, and especially for bicycles. So we want to just add that that continues to be closed, and so residents should not be using that. Thank you.
Do we have any idea, Mr. Weigold, about the length of time it's going to be able to take to make the repairs necessary to make it available again?
We got a bid of over $50,000 to repair it, but we think we can do it in-house for under 10. So we're discussing that this week in-house.
Okay. Thank you. Director Farmer.
Yeah, so I'll get back to my question with regard to Steve and what he just briefly presented to us. With regard to, it appears that we won't need a grant writer for the skate park. That's kind of news to me, and I'd like to know how that switch has taken place, or that different approach has taken place. And I also see that there's an attendee who would like to speak on the report from Mr. Niffen.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and take the board member questions first, and then I'll move to the public. Director Dean?
I just asked a question. I guess we can...
I'm sorry. Mr. Weichel, would you like to respond to...
Sure, for Director Farmer. So we have the manual for the grant application process. We're also in touch with the representative from the State Parks Group that specifically represents Cambria. It's a pretty straightforward application overall that we can work with the designer. And then, of course, our district council weighs in on any kind of contracting that's required. But hiring a grant writer at this point to write down what they're going to have to come back to us for the information for is kind of a moot point in my view. We can certainly hire somebody, but then they're going to come to me and to Steve Niffen and to the designer for all the information that has to go into the application. So for that amount of time that I have to take and the rest of the staff has to take to inform the grant writer, we can just do it ourselves.
All right. Well, we'll hope for the best there. Thank you.
Director Dean?
I was just curious on how the group is doing with fundraising, especially since they had that very creative effort on Easter, for Easter on the...
Amanda is here with us, and I'm sure she can address that directly in going to the attendees. I wouldn't be surprised. Yes, her hand is up. So perhaps she can provide more specific information on that fundraising part.
And Vice President Howell has his hand up too.
Thank you. Vice President Howell.
Oh, thank you. Just a couple of questions. In General Manager Weigold's mention of the trail, the fact that there is some danger on that trail raises a question in my mind in general. This is really important for council, liabilities that we might be exposed to on properties that we are maintaining, such as, for example, that where the Santa Rosa Creek Trail is. And if there are some liability concerns, what can we do to protect ourselves? That's question one. And the question two is more related to the skate park, and this might be more a question for GM Weigel, which is, as we discuss the skate park, I'm presuming, but maybe it needs to be asked, is what are the insurance concerns that the district might have regarding the skate park, and are those being addressed, or how are those being addressed, I guess? So those are my two questions.
Mr. Carmel, are you available for the first part of that?
Yes, indeed. Yes, we do have liability for the dangerous conditions of public property. And the best way to protect the district is to warn through signage. If appropriate, block it off physically. Those are the ways that you can best protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. What? I need to grab some money out of there.
And I think that if I'm not mistaken, and Jim Weigold, you can probably address this additionally also, those kinds of blocking and signing have been posted, and people basically have just been moving them aside and continuing to use the trail. So I guess one thing that we can do is please admonish people to pay attention to the signs that are posted, because you're creating a liability for the district by taking those actions. And perhaps the attendees that are here today can help in the distribution of that request. Mr. Weigel?
Yes, you're absolutely correct, President Steidel. We've been, telling people that are using the trail when we find them that it's closed, and we keep putting the sign back up, of course, and it's pretty well blocked off, but people find their way around it, and you can walk it. It's kind of walkable, but because it's a trail. But especially for bicycles, it's not very safe.
And there was a second part that was the question from Vice President Howell. But considering we've had conversation, I don't know whether that needs to be rephrased.
As far as the liability on district property, same holds true there. That we have insurance on all our properties for liability purposes. And particularly for COVID, in particular, we're enforcing use of facilities such as the Vets Hall parking lot that are we're given guidance from the health department at the county level for that. So we're managing all of that very carefully because of the conditions of the pandemic.
And I guess one thing to remember is that the insurance and the liability that we had for the skate park was in existence before. And that was in existence when the skate park was in a very detrimental state. So it's something that, because the land ownership by CCSD, we have the legal liability requirement associated with the land.
That's true, and we're going to reassess later this spring all our properties and assets to make sure they're all properly insured at the right levels.
Okay, thank you. So any other questions from the board before I move to the public comments? Vice President Howell?
Just one last comment then. If you're not doing so, General Manager Weigel, it's probably a very good idea if you document the times when those signs are reported as being removed, because we may need to demonstrate due diligence. If somebody does get injured, we need to demonstrate that we have made every attempt to keep the signage on the trails. So I want to be sure as you go forward that you and Carlos document that. And the only other thing is, I'm assuming then that our present policy, should we then operate a skate park, our present policy does cover us. That's the interpretation that I get from what was just said.
Yeah, I know in the past we've had signs, and most other districts have signs up, particularly if they're not managed. A lot of skate parks post someone from the district on site during open hours. Ours will be unmanned, and we'll have signage there for liability purposes.
Okay. Any other board questions or comments? All right, what I'd like to do then is move to the public. And the first person there, Osana?
Yes, Dr. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary and Madam President. I was able to attend via Zoom the meeting of the PROS Commission, and I certainly thank those people for their volunteer work. It's very important for the community. I noted in the meeting that Facilities Manager Mendoza brought a photo. Perhaps he'll report to you on that later. But as some of you know, jacuzzi slid down the hill into the skate park area, and I think that you as policy setters for the CCSD board should take into account various possibilities of descending objects upon your property, not only intruding horizontally. And I look forward to how the angle of that slope will be dealt with by the designer being hired. I also heard at that meeting a serious concern with electric bikes in this town now. Electric bikes seem to think that they can go anywhere because they're electric, or I shouldn't interpret people who ride them, but there is intrusion on Fiscalini Ranch Preserve of these bikes. They go where they aren't supposed to. And so I think that you ought to hire a consultant who understands psychological ethics, and then you can just get that person working full time perhaps also on the threat of jacuzzis, and then you could get this all in order. I also had asked before that the timeline for the skate park be put on the CCSD website. I want to thank the community members who are organizing the skate park project, because not only do they raise money, they also developed an excellent timeline that was presented to the PROS Commission, but it's not on the CCSD website yet. At least the last time I checked the CCSD website, I could not find anything in particular other than references to various meetings about the skate park. So I think many people in the community want to be updated on exactly what the situation is, because it's going to be a very major project, whether you hire somebody to write a draft or not. And finally, there was also serious comment about the condition of the dog park, and perhaps Mr. Mendoza will bring this up again. The condition is not because of the dogs. It's that, once again, when you have a project that begins with a huge base of volunteers, it often becomes the case that some of the volunteers get older and die. Some of the volunteers get older and lose interest. And now it's down to a pathetic little small group maintaining that dog park. I bring this up to you, Board of Directors of the CCSD, through your Madam President, of course, that you have before you a crisis, that's my word, of how you maintain your open spaces and parks in this town. I'm not saying you should all get rakes. I'm not saying you should all get up and pick up the trash. What I'm saying is, how do you maintain this property in your budget? So next time you take a look at your little budget, please take this into account. Somehow we've got to start funding seriously this aspect of this community district. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Asana? You're muted, Osana.
So, go ahead, Julia Mode.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. I think I'd like to answer the question first to Director Dean, and thank you so kindly for asking about Pick a Duck for a Buck. It was a lot of fun on Friday. My daughter, Ava, was actually our Easter bunny, and it brought her tremendous joy to see the kids smiling and her being able to get down on one knee and let them know that the bunny was real. We raised $8,000 on Friday. We had a private donation, actually somebody who would like to remain anonymous here in Cambria, who pulled up and gave us a check for $5,000. So it really just speaks, this is not the first $5,000 check we've received like that. It speaks to not only the interest of the project, but the true commitment of how Cambrians in this community support this project. I'd like to personally say thank you to President Seidel. She kindly stopped by and motivated our kids, and it was wonderful to see her there. She brought us donuts, and every one of them was gone quickly. One way to motivate kids is sugar, and that worked. So thank you. It was a perfect day. I mean, we absolutely loved being out there, and we will continue to fundraise. So again, $8,000 on that day, Director Dean, but it brings us to $163,000 in unrestricted cash. And as we continue to fundraise, it gets easier, because we all know that once you have dollars, it's a little bit easier to ask for dollars. It becomes somewhat of a measuring contest for those who want to donate. So if I can get creative, which I know we're moving in that direction, it certainly helps having creative to be able to go up to larger donors with. We're so excited about this signed contract. I can't even begin to say thank you enough from all of our parents and children. And of course, the timeline is there. We'd love to see it posted. It is not a perfect timeline. It's meant to be a talking point. It's meant to be a visual. And the one thing I would like to ask, though, to Mr. Weigel is just to make sure we're being super clear on the grant. I know we talked about it not needing a grant writer, but do we need now CCSD's permission to take a vote that they are authorizing you to at least apply for the grant, even if it's done in-house, but to apply for the grant? And other than that, again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Amadei. I appreciate the feedback regarding the fundraising that you were able to accomplish. I will make one additional point of reference for folks. As much as that timeline that's been produced is of value as a point of reference, it also is not something that is owned by the CCSD. In other words, we did not generate that timeline. So I appreciate the general purpose of what it represents, but it may not also represent a number of the things that we have to accomplish as a district to be able to make it happen. So I just wanted to caution that the timeline is not something that CCSD generated. And by virtue of that, the probability of it, I mean, it would certainly be up to Mr. Weigold, but posting that on the CCSD website would infer that we are the owners of it and that we have control over that. And that isn't the case. We don't have control over the production of that timeline as it exists. Osana.
Yes, Michael Calderwood, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just want to follow on to what Dr. Bettenhausen raised about budgeting for parks, recreation, and open space. You know, I've attended a few of the recent meetings via Zoom, and it strikes me that there are two things that seem to be happening here that are causing some stress. As one is, it's unclear to me, at least, who asks and who gives as far as funding, budgeting, putting projects in front of the board. There seem to be an awful lot of expenses, surprises, things that pop up that are being dealt with, sort of, you know, Carlos grabbing some dollars here, some dollars there, when there are major needs for funding and budgeting. And it doesn't appear that there is a way to force that conversation to happen with the board. How do we fund our parks and rec much more robustly and much more sustainably? I don't know what the authority is or what the onus is on Mr. Niffen and his team to bring these serious issues to the board and sort of drive an action there. There's a lot of expediency built into these meetings, but not a lot of effect coming out of them. So I think that really needs to be seriously addressed. It's been an issue that's come up in the over the past few years now and again. I think the skate park initiative has really brought some focus to that. So having a woefully underfunded parks and rec department that relies on volunteers and fundraising from the community is great if you can get it, as Dr. Bettenhausen said. But if there's not a fundamental, foundational, budgetary process in place, then you're really at the mercy of the fates rather than a well thought out and executed plan for that. So I would ask that we give some thought to that, perhaps a conversation with Mr. Niffen and his team. How do we get these needs and solutions in front of the board so that we can put a sustainable action in place? One example that was alluded to was David Pearson's suggestion about perhaps looking at the loans that were given to the water and wastewater, doing a repayment there, putting that money into the general fund, and then using some of that as money that's accessible to perhaps allocate to the parks and rec. So that was just one thing that came up. But I would like to see a little bit more focus on helping the parks and recs become more sustainable as a standalone unit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Calderwood. I don't want to speak for all board members, but I think all board members are aware of the issues that are associated with any number of things that the CCSD has taken on over time, for which at the time they were brought into the fold, there was not consideration of how to manage or make available the downline costs for them. Some of it is because it's not envisioned at the time, and some of it is because it just ends up not being the interesting part of the idea of something brand new. And we're suffering that. This district has suffered that probably for the last 10 years. But one thing to keep in mind is that there is some action toward it. I think that as you go through some of the review information that we're doing with the strategic plan and so forth, you'll see that there's something incrementally there with a group to come up with some brainstorming of some methodologies to be able to look for funding resources for some of those things that we're having to continuously expend our money on, but for which there was never any foundation for receiving a revenue for it or a revenue stream for it, an additional revenue stream. The thing that concerns me the most about it is the major piece that suffers under that process is that I think has the highest potential is the fire department. So as much as we have things to do, we also have to consider where our risks lie. So that's what we're grappling with as a board, as a whole. But there is something embedded as part of the strategic plan to get those things moving. And that's one of the important parts of the strategic plan is being able to develop those things and get some recommendations on how to do it. So we are working toward it. I know it isn't happening fast enough. We would like to have it work faster and be fast enough too. But it isn't in a black hole. Let's put it that way. Are there any other comments from the public? I don't see any. And are there any additional comments from the board members?
President Steidel?
Yes.
I do have a comment that was written.
Oh, all right.
All right. And it is from Cheryl McDowell. She says, please read a public comment. Hello, board. Time to reopen CCSD and standing committees meetings in a public setting at the Vets Hall. This item needs to be put on your agenda. California will demolish the color tier so business can resume prior to June per our governor. All restrictions will be lifted. Thank you, Cheryl McDowell.
Thank you, Ms. McDowell. Do you have any others then, Asana?
For public comment, that is it. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I see a hand up from Ted.
Oh, okay. Now, Director Farmer?
I just want to mention that, listening to the county health, I wish I could remember her name at this point, but the person who oversees the health and well-being of the county and addresses issues around COVID and where we are right now, it appears that though it was hoped that we might enter into the orange tier at some point in recent weeks, it appears we're going to be remaining in the red tier. So I would say the possibility of doing live meetings at the Vets Hall, as much as we'd love to do that, certainly doesn't appear to be on the horizon.
Thank you.
And Ted Key, there's two people now still in the public comments.
All right. If this is related to PROS, then we can take those comments. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh.
Ted, is it relating?
Actually, it's a general public comment. I thought this was the opening.
No, we're still in the PROS commission report.
Oh, I see. All right. Yes. And I have a general comment. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Okay. And is Ms. Amadate have an additional comment?
Go ahead, Ms. Amadate.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I asked a question. I just want to make sure I'm getting an answer on it. So we've got clear understanding and direction. So Mr. Weigel, are we needing to go to the board and get them to take a vote of understanding on this grant so that it can be done in-house as an application? I just want clarification if you don't mind. Thank you.
We do have to eventually get board approval after estimates are back from the two outstanding projects we have design contracts for.
Any other? Okay. All right. I will be moving on to public comment then, if I don't see anything else. All right. Number four, public comment. And Osana?
I do not have any, but I think Ted Key might want to.
There we go. Now. All right.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Ted Key.
Good afternoon, President Steidel and board. I want to do a couple of things. First of all, I want to commend the board for its initiative to be looking towards additional water sources for the district. And I also would like to take and make a special commendation to Director Dean and her R&I group for discussing this matter at their last meeting, and specifically related towards the reservoir, which you know that I am a very, very strong proponent of. I actually believe that in the long term, there is no solution for our community other than the creation of the reservoir on the Warren property. I'm going to attend your next meeting, Karen. I've got a lot of information to share with you. One of my very closest friends is one of the leading climate scientists on the planet and has worked with ADB for many years on water projects that completely dwarf the size of Cambria. So I have him also helping me take a look at some of that. But be that as it may, I'm going to be wanting to share information with the R&I committee, which should certainly come to you through that group. I know that I spoke with Director Farmer about this. One of his major concerns was funding. Let me just say this. There's soon going to be $111 billion in infrastructure coming from the federal government, in addition to the amount of money that is in Sacramento for projects that are, I think, specifically targeted for what we need to do here as a community to ensure our fire safety and our water safety, not just in the short term, but in the very, very long term. And I'm going to urge the board to get out into the middle of that stream and swim in that flow of water. I think there's opportunity for this board, to really look towards the future, because it will take easily 10 years before you're going to even break ground on this reservoir. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done for that. There is some pre-work that is available. I know that Mr. Warren has information to share. I would urge the board members to go out and take a good look at the site. I think you're going to go, geez, why didn't they do that 20 years ago like I did? So anyway, I just want to commend Director Dean and the R&I committee for moving this process forward, and look forward to additional dialogue with the board and with the R&I committee going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Key.
Thank you. Ms. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, Dr. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary and Madam President. I want to point to something that I did send you that I want to highlight it now, not later. And that is what the many members of the community are also looking at with a slight grimace on our faces of horror, because the carbon dioxide number, which we've all been paying close attention to for about three decades now, the big goal is 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide. Well, we hit a new record of 421 parts per million, which is simply bad news. Now, I'm not raising this because we can put something on the agenda next week and solve the problem, but I want to point it out once again that we are in a crisis on this climate situation, and I hope that stays at the front of your mind all the time. But I do want to make a public comment about something that is this at a slightly different angle. I've been very appreciative in my posting on social media on all four sites that I use here in town of issues about trash. I've commended you in my social media for your letter to the Integrated Waste Management Authority that it will take action perhaps next week. We'll see. But I want to thank people in town for being very concerned about a big item, namely trash. But I hope that you, as the direct board of directors of the Cambria Community Services District, might work together with the Chamber of Commerce and the Cambria Tourism Board in some program to begin to educate those people who are tourists in town about the high standards of respect for the earth that we have here in Cambria. It is unfortunate that many people in Cambria attribute increase in trash to tourists. I'm not quite convinced that that's the only problem, but I urge you to take a very practical step, and that is figure out with the Chamber of Commerce and the Cambria Tourism Board how you can get through to the wonderful visitors to our little town called Paradise, along with, of course, all the other coastal towns with that name, how we can work to manifest a clear respect for where we're living and how our manner of behavior affects all the creatures, including the gray wolf who just showed up and the condors who are trying to show up and Madam President, the little cute snowy plover. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. By the way, I just had an opportunity to read the book that you were circulating and request for the CCSD board and staff, and I wanted to commend you on that book. It's a wonderful representation, and it's well thought out, and it's a fun read.
Thank you. It wasn't a request, it was a bribe.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So are there any other public comments, Osana?
Nope.
All right. And
nope. Go ahead.
Nothing. Director Farmer, are you indicating that you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to briefly piggyback, so to speak, on the comments made by Ms. Bettenhausen with regard to not just educating our public here in Cambria, but educating the people who visit here, who come to recreate, with regard to how we use our most precious resource, which is water, you know, as well as the trash situation, but especially educating people that come here. And even though they wish to really have a good time, we all need to be aware of the need to use less water, especially here in our community. So I just wanted to follow up on what Ms. Bettenhausen said.
Thank you. Any other board members? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on then to our regular business. And the first item, 5A of regular business. GM Weigel, will you introduce the item for us, please?
Yes, President Stidell. Agenda item 5A is discussion and consideration to reschedule the dates for the six-month strategic plan review with Marilyn Snyder, our outside consultant. I have not heard back from her any availability dates outside of July 9th and 13th. So I'd ask we potentially consider moving this to the special agenda on Tuesday or to next Thursday's regular meeting.
All right. That certainly sounds appropriate. Vice President Howell, are you satisfied with doing that action?
Yes, I think it's a good idea. Yeah. At this point, we'd be spinning our wheels.
Right.
All right. General, I'm seeing Director Dean nod her head. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, then let's take that action, GM Weigold, and hopefully we'll have had a chance to hear back from her by then. The intent was to establish a calendar date so that we could meet the obligation that we had committed to for doing an update and review of the strategic plan elements. Vice President Howell?
Do we still need to take public comment on this? And do we need to do this by tabling it by motion, or can we just, this is really more to council.
Yes, we should take public comment. No formal action is necessary because we'll have it on a posted agenda.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Thank you, Vice President Howell. Let's see, in the attendees, do we have anyone? Osana?
Yes, Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. I don't want to say too much about what I was going to say because you're not going to deal with it today, but I think that you have before you either at the special meeting, which I didn't know was going to happen, but now apparently will, or at your next meeting a week from today, you're going to look at changing a date. You aren't going to look at the substance of what you're dealing with. You're going to just change the date. And so I was suggesting that you should look at the substance of what you're dealing with, because we have urgent need for money, like at the dog park, that we could better spend because blah, blah. I won't fill you in on all the great wisdom that I have on 5A, but since you don't have the information, you aren't going to deal with it today, so I shut up. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Are there any other public comments?
Yes,
or any other comments on the agenda item?
Yeah, Christine Heinrichs, go ahead. Unmute yourself, okay. Please.
Okay, thank you. I had some comments regarding the substance of this meeting as well. And as Dr. Bettenhausen said, since this is going to be postponed, I will hold off on that. But I do think that they're considering the actual substance of the strategic plan and how the board has appeared to ignore it. It seems pointless to pay $6,000 for a meeting. But I'll see you either on Tuesday or next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. All right. Are there any additional questions or comments by board members? All right, and no additional comment requests by the attendees. So we'll move them on to our second regular business item. And Jim Weigel, will you please provide us with that regular business item?
Yes, President Steidel, agenda item 5B is discussion and consideration regarding the implementation report relating to the renaming of the facility formerly known as Sustainable Water Facility, SWF, to the Water Reclamation Facility, WRF. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider the attached report relating to the renaming of the facility. As attached, the board, or the staff rather, has met several times over recent weeks, as you had asked the staff to come up with issues that would be related to renaming the facility. So as you can see on the attached attachment, we put together a list of impacts, and you can see the subject matter and the specific item, the actual impact, and the staff comments and considerations and recommendation. And then lastly, recommended date that we implement each of those actions. Pending your questions, I'll defer back to the board.
Okay. So let me ask board members, sometimes because of the significance of a particular item, there's a preference by board members to hear the public comment before board discussion. Would that be a preference for you today?
Yeah, I prefer that, yes.
I'm seeing a lot of nodding. Okay, fine. So, Osana, what we'll do is we'll move to public comment, please.
Okay, sure. Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
It just occurred to me, thank you very much, that I might set a record that surpasses the level of carbon dioxide in the millions by how many times you are having to call on me today. But I'm so grateful to you for listening to my public comments. I want to ask you a question. The minutes of your March 18th meeting are not yet available to the public because you've not yet seen them and approved them. And so I have no clarity in my mind what it was that you, what the motion was that you adopted on the 18th of March with regard to this name change. Did you say at the 18th of March that the name change was contingent upon the list of impacts that has now been presented to you and how you evaluate it? Or, so I see heads shaking. So I assume the name has been changed. And now the question before you is, what do you want to do with this list of impacts? I want to read to you, please, my comment about 5B. The attachment, list of impacts, on page 5, describes a considerable expenditure of time and money that accomplishes pervasive change of wording for no clear and compelling purpose. I urge you to table this agenda item or take no action. I urge you to do this because it is unclear what is achieved by having the staff spend all this time and our money then on making these word changes, this linguistic adjustment to CCSD documents. I think you could simply adopt a statement at your next meeting or your next umpteen meeting saying, please be advised, every time you see SWF in the documents of CCSD, it really means the water reclamation facility or however you named it. And then everybody is informed when they see SWF, what it's now called. That would save an immense amount of staff time. It would save an immense amount of money and accomplish the same purpose. So I urge you to table this, just like you tabled the previous item because you didn't have enough information, and get on with the reports that are apparently left over from March or February from the GM and the other managers. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Osana, is there additional comment?
Yes, we have Christine Heinrichs. Go ahead, Christine.
Thank you. And I thank the staff for enumerating the many places in which the name will need to be changed, and the board for doing this in a public meeting, unlike the previous name change, which was done by staff without public discussion. This table illustrates the complexity and confusion changing the name of the emergency water supply project will cause. Please, as Dr. Bettenhausen suggests, table this item. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Osana?
Yes, Jim Townsend, go ahead. Go ahead, Jim Townsend.
Am I unmuted now?
Yes.
Yes.
Great, thank you. Thank you, President Steidel and members of the board. Appreciate the opportunity to make a brief comment here on this issue here. It strikes me that changing the name of the facility for the fourth or fifth time without making an effort to change the project description and the purpose of the facility is akin to rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. If the facility was going to be renamed at this time, probably a more descriptive title would be something like the black hole or the bottomless pit. I really think that the board and staff have much larger issues to deal with regarding the facility out there than the name. Given that we're coming up on 7 years and don't appear to be any closer to even submitting a complete permit application, it would strike me that the board and the staff's time would be much better spent on addressing those issues so that we can find out if the darn thing actually works and produces you know, copious potable water out there in an environmentally safe manner, than continuing to mess around with these semantic issues that make no difference in the long run. That's it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Townsend. Osama?
Yes, I have one written comment for 5B, and it is a little long. It is a little long, so if you want to do a 3-minute timer to stop me.
But that's, yes, we will do that, but it will be part of the overall meeting documentation also for additional review. Okay.
Yes, definitely. This is from Susan Ladry Mackey. She says, what's in a name? Comments for the April 8th board meeting. Name change. As the March 11 board meeting, at the March 11 board meeting, the directors discussed the proposed name change for the facility originally known as the Emergency Water Supply, EWS, subsequently called the Sustainable Water Facility, SWF. They proposed and voted unanimously to rename the facility the Water Reclamation Facility, WRF. They directed the staff to prepare a report about the feasibility and costs associated with the name change. Board members said they proposed the name change because the current name, the SWF, is a politically loaded term. The community pushed back when the EWS name was changed to the SWF due to lack of input from the community on the name change. The name of the facility should reflect what the facility does, not what we want to use the water for. It is puzzling why, if board members know that there is pushback from the community on the name SWF because the community was not involved in that decision, the board would propose another name change with no community involvement. Also puzzling is why they would choose the name Water Reclamation Facility as less politically loaded than a Sustainable Water Facility. One could just look to other communities using that name, such as Morro Bay, and see it is equally controversial. In fact, some board members discussed that one may not want to use the words reuse or reclaim, as one might not want to focus on that aspect of the facility. I do agree that the name should reflect what the facility does. And what it does right now is sit and wait for a level 3 emergency, only being activated periodically to maintain it. Therefore, the name Emergency Water Supply does describe both what the facility does and what the water is used for. Function and use are synonyms. So I do not understand why the board is making a distinction. Therefore, I like some of the commenters at the March 11 board meeting, think we should use the original name Emergency Water Supply, EWS, to refer to the facility. That is what is permitted, what the facility is used for, and what it currently does. The Sustainable Water Facility, SWF, is the name of the Coastal Development Permit, CDP, application. It is premature to even call the facility that other than when referring to the facility as outlined on the CDP application. That application is to run the facility during the dry season so that we will not have to wait for a stage three emergency to sustain us through a drought. The name was given to differentiate the facility from its current emergency permitted use to the proposed use in the CDP application. As that application process is only 13% complete, even the use of SWF to refer to our current system is premature and causing confusion.
Okay, thank you, Osama.
Okay, sure. The rest will be on the website.
Okay, thank you. And thank Ms. McKee for the letter. It's appreciated. All right. So we come back then to our board members. Director Gray.
Yeah, maybe to start with a question on this chart and to maybe address the issue that's raised by a lot of people speaking about this in terms of cost and staff time. All these, most of these changes are due to be made between now and July 1st this year, and there's another couple others that be stretched out further. But my question, of course, is, I guess, how much staff time really is going to be involved in all of this, and what kind of quantitative measure have you put on it, essentially? This is for General Manager Weigold.
I think that depends on the individual item, because we didn't assign any time on this, but I can tell you, just putting this together, we probably have, I don't know, 20 to 30 hours between multiple people. Probably Pam would have a better sense of that because she did a lot of the work on this. But the, you know, there's a lot of interaction with outside entities on this. Just for the, on the loan agreement side, we had to work with district council to take a look at our loan agreement and then reach out to our finance group and understand what the requirements were there. They had to take it from our their representative up their chain of command to get permission for us to change it. And it turns out there's no cost with that, but just that one event was a series of interactions with probably about five or six different people. I know it doesn't answer your question. It just varies from item to item.
One more question, I guess. I'll again, this is not so much about this. This one is not so much about the cost, but the setting of the date for the 2022 date, the July 1st, 2022 date for the CDP permit and Regional Water Board permit process. Is that a date certain, or is it contingent on the time at which the CDP is essentially completed by the county? And second question, does it depend on the CDP being approved by the Coastal Commission?
So all these dates are estimated dates. And so, so that's an estimated date on when we expect to receive the CDP, from the county. You know, we expect that there's likely to be an appeal on that. So, to the regional, to the, Coastal Development Commission. So, you know, that date could be pushed out, easily.
And just to clarify that on those two, especially the coastal development permit application, we are not going to be changing the name or labeling of the project within the permit application or within the EIR or within other documents that have already been submitted. This is going to be in future communications from this point on to these agencies, but the actual documents that have been submitted, including the CDP permit application that is now in progress, nothing changes within those documents, correct?
Well, I'll loop in the district engineer here, but yeah. My understanding is, you know, it's just our recommendation that we don't change anything until we get to the end of the process. Mm-hmm. And Ray, do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, that would be correct, there, Director Gray. We're not changing anything in the past, but as everything moves forward, when the emergency permit becomes a regular permit, that's when the change would be made.
Again, this is our staff recommendation. The board desires us to resubmit the permit with a new name. We can do that. That has other implications, of course.
That's not my view, no. So, those are all my questions for now. Thank you.
All right. Any other directors? Director Farmer?
Yes. Thank you, President Steidel. So as just was referenced in a question from Director Gray and from Utilities Manager D'Enzo, you know, under utilities, you know, on page 5, coastal development permit, currently functioning under emergency permit and the emergency water supply project. With regard to the regional water board permit, currently functioning under emergency water treatment facility. And just following up on that and comments made by members of the public, including Ms. Mackey, basically this facility is still an emergency water supply project, you know, and whatever name change that we make, it's really not going to affect the quality or lack of with regard to the current coastal development permit application that we've turned in. And The name change is certainly not going to affect the ongoing costs of the facility or the environmental impacts that it makes as well. So as far as I'm concerned, no matter what name we change it to, it's kind of like that old saying, you know, you can put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig. And we should name this facility what it is meant to provide, and that's to provide us water in an emergency. And it should be the emergency water supply project until further notice. And that's how I feel. And that's why, even though I voted yes on the name change, it was reluctantly, and I stated at that time, it should be returned to an emergency water facility. And that's how I feel. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Any other comments? Director Dean? And you're still muted.
Vice President Howell had his name up first, please.
Oh, did he? I'm sorry.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you, Director Dean. Actually, I would have preferred that you go first, but since I've got the floor, okay. Two comments, and then I'm going to make a motion. First of all, I doubt that we would be hearing all these objections from the public or from fellow board members if we had decided to change the name to EWS. I sincerely doubt we would be hearing all these objections. So I am not fazed in that regard. The purpose of this name change is just to get it off out of the political world. And I think our friends, our greener friends out there may forget that about half this community does not agree with them. And the fact that we haven't been hearing from them suggests to me that they're comfortable with the name change. So having said that, I would like, first of all, to compliment staff. I'm very pleased with the implementation plan that you've put forth. And I'm going to presume that the dates that you gave us are sincere and they give us your best estimate as to how this task can be accomplished. So with the understanding that those dates are not cast in stone, I move that we accept the plan as presented by staff and instruct them to proceed.
I second.
All right, so motion by Vice President Howell and seconded by Director Gray. Are there any other director comments before we move on to a vote? Director Dean?
The only thing I had wanted to say before this motion was made is just a reminder that the county did say that changing the name would not affect the permit process. So I don't see why we can't just say formerly known as such and such. That's all I was going to say, because it didn't sound like from the county that it was going to slow down the process or that the permit would have to be resubmitted at all. My impression was if we changed the name or took something out of the project application, it would not cause a problem. It's only if we actually changed the wording and added anything to the
script. Yeah. Just to make a comment on that. What I was concerned with mainly, is most of the time and effort that will be involved in altering the name within documents that have already been submitted. I know we're not talking at all about changing the project description, obviously, anything material, but it's just a matter of staff, I think, of the time and trouble.
Yeah, I just suggest that documents going forward, we could say the new name or formerly known. Yeah. It's just
documents going forward is another matter. Yeah,
cover letter.
Okay. Yeah, cover.
So, Director Farmer?
I just want to comment on something that Vice President Howell said a few moments ago. If I'm misinterpreting what you said, Vice President Howell, please correct me. But you stated the fact that while we're hearing from a few people, let's say the usual suspects in attendance here, who are still wishing to address this facility as an emergency water facility, for the most part, we're not hearing any real complaints about the name change with regard to the rest of the community. I think the rest of the community probably hasn't been paying that much attention to this. And maybe if they saw that particular almost 1 hour agenda item that was discussed, they weren't necessarily all that keen on how that took place from what I'm hearing. And my take on it is that people are more concerned not so much about the name, but the ongoing cost and the ongoing impact to the ratepayers of the community, as well as to the environment, if and when it ever does run. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Well, I hadn't had an opportunity to make a comment, so I did want to do that also. One of the reasons that I was in support of this is that, like Vice President Howell, I do think that that there is baggage that's carried both in terms of the term EWS and the SWF, and it's coming probably from different areas of the community. But the thing that was more important to me was that we tend to get so, we as a district, and it isn't just this board, I think it's an historic problem, we get ourselves so immersed in the moment of what something is that we lose sight of trying to anticipate what we need to do in terms of future thinking. Now, it may be operating as an EWS right now in the way that was described by Director Farmer, but for instance, if we were to look at it in a risk management kind of scenario, we know that there is climate change, and we know that things are happening, and we know that there's going to be sea level rise, and we know already that we have a potential problem with saltwater intrusion and the way that we can use a facility to be able to offset the impacts of that. Now, it may get bad enough that that wouldn't even be sufficient to be able to withhold it, but it might be able to hold us in a pattern to be able to protect and save our fresh water by saltwater intrusion. And that may not happen for 5 years. It may not happen for 7 or 10 years. But frankly, I don't want to, you know, be responsible either for someone sitting on a board 10 years from now and having them say, what the heck were these people thinking? So by limiting something, and I think that continuing to focus on the idea of an emergency water system only operating during emergency is something that is a short-sighted vision in its definition. Mm. And I think that we need to be much more oriented to forward thinking and potential impacts of things down the line. So that's my take on it. Director Farmer?
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. I just wanted to say this, with regard to climate change, it's actually a climate crisis, or as some people have phrased it, a climate emergency. And if in fact, at some point in the future, and Lord willing, this doesn't happen, but if in fact there is some potential for saltwater intrusion, that would be something that would be an emergency, and therefore we could operate the plant under those under that situation. Thank you.
Anyway.
Well, we could continue the conversation, and I would choose to disprove that statement with information, but it's not going to be satisfactory or you know, contribute to anything right now. So there's been a motion and there's been a second. So I would like to call a roll call. And Osana, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes. Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay, Vice President Howell, aye. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye.
Yeah.
Director Farmer, how do you vote?
No.
No? Okay, thank you. Director Farmer, no. Director Dean, aye. How do you vote?
Aye.
Director Dean, aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
And President Steidel, aye. 4 ayes and 1 nay.
Thank you. So the motion passes with 4 ayes and 1 nay. Thank you.
Steidel?
Right. President. And moving forward for, oh, yes, Director Dean?
Can I dash away for 2 minutes, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, say again.
Comfort break, 2 minutes, please.
Oh, certainly. let's see, it's 3:19. We can take a few minutes. So let's.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Oh, okay. Okay. 3:22.
By the way, Director Dean, she wanted to dash away. Is dash like a dish soap or something like that?
Well, no, but now she only has 2 minutes. So okay. Let's go. So 3:22. Thanks. And Mr. Weingold, thank you. All right. The continuing agenda then is number 6, Board Member Committee and Liaison Reports. And so initially I'd like to call for any public comment. I recognize that there aren't, well, there's, I'm trying to remember if the one report was in this package from the prior meeting. Which I believe it is, yes, from the Finance Committee. So is there any public comment regarding the Board Member Committee or Liaison Reports?
Yes, I have written, and also Dr. Bettenhausen.
All right.
Go ahead, Dr. Bettenhausen.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary and Madam President, and certainly the rest of you attending there. As you could guess, I will now read my comment, which you've probably heard before. Regarding this statement in your agenda for 6A, public comment, : the president will be asking for public comment before the reports, ; My question, does this mean that the president will be asking for public comment before any of the reports is given or before each report is given? Second question, where are the written reports? The agenda packet does not include them. Thus, I am not able to make a comment on any of these reports. Parenthetically, I now add, perhaps to your relief. Question 3, why not ask for public comment after each report is given and before discussion of that report by the board begins? Members of the public would have read the reports in the agenda packet, if they are published, and listened to corrections, changes, explanation in the oral presentation by the member of the staff. This would make public comment more well-informed. Now, I want to stress one aspect of that, which is not in my written statement, which I have asked be included in the record. If you are going to come back to me and say, well, these are all reports that we should have done before, but we talked too much and ran out of time, and if we didn't have so much public comment, we could have gotten to them too, probably. I'll take that to heart, certainly, as an observation from you all. But I would suggest, no matter what the reason, that you post it in your agenda. Why are there no written reports today? Simply put a sentence in there. There are no written reports today because you are obligated as a member of the public to go back and look at agenda item, blah, 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 in a previous report packet. So thank you very much. Once again, I'm asking, what exactly is your interpretation of the usefulness of public comment, Madam President? Thank you very much.
Ms. Bettenhausen, if I may, I'll respond to that.
You may.
I know you've asked the question several times. Part of it is that what we're talking about here are committee and liaison reports, things of that nature, and things, the Finance Committee report, the Policy Committee, the Resource and Infrastructure, all of those have accessibility from the public to observe those meetings and to ask questions there and to hear the information that might even be part of a report that's attached to the agenda package. So it isn't as a matter of it being something that is unavailable either at the time that the meeting takes place or it's available by Zoom recording, so it can be looked at any time. So the intent is there are other ways for all of that information to be available to the public, and the intent is if you've observed those or if you had comments regarding them, you could do that up front for any that you may have listened to. But the focus to try to make some forward movement here in making things a little bit more streamlined isn't a matter of suppressing information to the public, because the information is readily available in several forms. Mm-hmm. So that was the intent.
Make any sense though?
So I don't know if there was, okay, Ms. Heinrichs, I guess, is the next, Asana, is it the next?
Thank you. Again, like Dr. Bettenhausen, I ask you to please provide the reports and their dates in the agenda so that the public can make informed comments on their substance, expecting the public to chase around after them and guess what date they were from and where they might be, it's a way of concealing the information. I support Dr. Bettenhausen's suggestions. An example of how requiring public comment before a report or discussion can stifle public comment was the discussion of changing the name of the emergency water supply project. By allowing public comment only before the board discussed the new name, all the Cambrians who had something to say focused on names that in the event weren't even under consideration. Who knew? The board chose a different name entirely, one that wasn't mentioned in the agenda. How is this not a Brown Act violation, by the way? It's exactly the kind of misleading sleight of hand that convinces the public that they can't trust the board. Department reports are usually given in the second meeting of the month. Are these reports deferred because the board was unable to complete its agenda at previous meetings? Providing that information would assist the district in meeting its strategic plan goal to increase and improve communication with the public, as mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Asana?
Yes, go ahead, Crosby and Laura Swartz.
Yes, this is Laura Swartz. And I had a question, hello board and everybody. I had a question to President Steidel's response to the question about the public communication here. I wanted to ask Mr. Carmel, what was your response to our president's answer? Thank you.
Mr. Carmel?
Is the question with regard to when public comment can be taken on agenda?
Or response to, like, well.
The Brown Act provides the
public. Brown Act provisions, I guess. Okay.
The Brown Act provides that public comment on agenda items can be taken before or during consideration of the agenda item. That's the exact wording.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Vice President Howell?
Again, I not really want to get back and forth, but it seems to me I interpreted your remarks as what I would feel, which is the reports that are being made today are for the benefit of the board. We are not reporting to the board. I mean, and the public can listen in on those reports, but they are not specifically for the public. And I think the president, President Steidel, made a very good point. If you want to know in great detail what is going on at those standing committee meetings, you need to attend the committee meetings. Don't expect that you can just come to a board meeting and you're going to get a complete summary of a committee meeting. That's not going to happen. What, as you will hear today, what happens today is what the committees feel the board needs to know. That is the only reason why these reports are being given. They are not, in my opinion, being given as a report to the public.
Thank you, Vice President Howe.
I'd like to hear Mr. Carmel respond to that one. I think
any other director comments? All right. Well, then why don't we...
I had a comment.
All right, Director Gray.
I think it's a fair question about the lack of written reports, because not so much out of because of public disclosure, because it's true that these are all open meetings that we're reporting on. But there, it happens to be in our bylaws that the committee chairs are supposed to do a written report to the board on their meetings, and that liaisons are supposed to do a written report to the board as a condition of their getting reimbursed for going to whatever meeting they went to. So these are policies that are already there. And I think the main reason, not just because public comment can be more informed when it's done at the beginning, but I think we are using a lot of time with verbal reports, sometimes not particularly disciplined in terms of time, when we could actually write things down quite easily and present them as part of the agenda packet for the board's benefit, so that the board's time and the staff's time is not wasted with a lot of long oral reports. I think it's a good policy. I mean, I submitted a written report because I thought that was the rule. So I think it's a policy that should be followed by everybody.
Thank you, Director Gray. Director Dean?
Okay, so I give a report on the NCAC, but it's the night before the meeting. So there's no time to submit a written report for the meeting at which we give our reports. So I either delay the report for that month to the next month's meeting and give you a written report, or I can follow up with a written report to be added to the minutes. The same thing is with R&I. The meeting's generally on Monday, the board meeting's on Thursday. There's no time to put it in the agenda packet in advance for that. So perhaps someone can explain to me what the policy should be for those two reports, since there's no time to put it into the agenda packet for the meeting where we give our reports. I either delay my report for an entire month, or I make a brief oral report and submit the written report to be added to the minutes. So how would you like me to deal with those two issues?
Right. And I think this is a general conversation that we need to have about this, about how to approach it. Because I think that the particulars of what the intent is and how it falls out sometimes with things that have to be reported are two different things, and we need to have a conversation about how to accommodate that, just as you've stated. Vice President Howell?
I fear I may have caused this discussion to go awry, and I was really going to raise a point of order, because we are not here to discuss whether or not to produce written reports today.
I agree.
All right. That being said, I'm just going to go down the line, and if something is of undue importance that needs to be reported verbally today, then let's hear it. Otherwise, we'll assume that there is no report from the individual either committees or liaisons or ad hocs. So finance committee report, we have one. The policy committee. Vice President Howell?
The report is very brief. We met for the first time of this term and chose our vice chair and secretary, and have been working on a work plan. But I have nothing of substance to report at this time.
Okay, thank you. The R&I. Director Dean?
Yes, we've met twice since my last report. Same thing, we elected a vice chair and a secretary. We updated our ad hoc committees. We formed the two ad hoc committees needed for the objective for the strategic plan. And those two ad hoc committees will be giving a draft version of their report at our next meeting on April 19th.
Okay, excellent. Are there any other ad hoc committee meetings any participants have items of substance they'd like to bring to the board for information?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. Right. Any other liaisons?
No.
Director Prime? You're on mute.
Actually, there haven't been any other liaison reports. And with regard to, maybe I misinterpreted what you said, President Steidel, but it seemed like just a moment ago you said it doesn't appear that there are any reports. And I don't know why you would have said that, because it's listed in the agenda to give our report. So I don't know why that assumption was being made. So
because they were detached. There was nothing submitted.
Well, let me just say this, that there was no request, and maybe I've made an error here, but yesterday, or was it today? So I believe it was Tuesday that Osana requested, some written reports for next week's agenda. So maybe I should take it upon myself to state that I guess that maybe I dropped the ball and not providing any written reports for today's meeting. And I'll apologize for that. And from now on, we'll make sure that mine are only liaison reports. Over the next week, we will have a written report from the first ad hoc committee on forest management alternatives. So that's already been submitted, in fact. But with regard to, and I guess I'm taking way too much time here, with regard to my very minimal and probably less important reports than the ones from ad hoc committees and so forth and standing committees. So FFRP, this is from the meeting in February, and they appointed two new board members, Carmen Peterson and Rusty Burns. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Rusty Burns is a little bit different than just about anybody on any of the committees throughout this district. He's 35 years old, which sets him apart right there. Has a bachelor's in social ecology, and I'm quoting him as to what he stated at the meeting when he was installed. He said, "I want to make a difference on the planet." And I think that's the type of attitude and outlook that we need in our community, no matter what the age of anybody who lives here. All the other information, for the most part, that was contributed at that meeting was pretty much done by Carlos Mendoza, our facilities resources supervisor. And I think I mentioned this before very briefly, but also that FFRP unanimously voted to provide an additional $20,000 to assist with the cleanup after the big storm in January. Also want to take a moment, if nobody minds, I'd like to read the mission statement and the vision statement for the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve, because we all need a bit of an enlightened moment, let's say, throughout our daily life. So the mission statement is to protect, our mission is to protect and sustain the diversity of life and the beauty of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve for everyone. Our vision is a thriving, everlasting coastal habitat that nurtures wonder and appreciation for generations to come. So I thought that would be something important to read. With regard to the Forest Committee meeting in February, once again, with regard to the enforcement of the replacement of Monterey pine trees that appear to be cut down in our community. Folks are either cutting them down and then planting different trees, or no trees are being replaced at all. And appears that the only place that we can get replacement for Monterey pine trees is through green space for seedlings. And it appears that nobody has approached green space with regard to Monterey pine seeds and seedlings. And we are the only, green space is the only organization, not just in this area, but in the entire state, that has any of those seeds available. So I just wanted to mention that. Also, transfer of development credits on the Lodge Hill Restoration Program came up. And there was a question at that time as to what obligation does the district have in this area, and also concern with regard to emphasizing the need for a forest manager ecologist. By the way, I also have a report from the Cambria Community Healthcare District meeting. I haven't been appointed to do this. I'm kind of doing this on my own to inform the board and the community as to what has taken place at the CCHD monthly meetings. I can either give a report right now or not. So I'll leave that up to you, President Steidel.
Well, considering that it's not a formal liaison appointment, then I think we should probably move on.
Okay. That's it.
Thank you. Any other liaisons or ad hocs that anyone had? Director Dean.
If I could just mention a couple of the things from the NCAC that I think are important. We had a special guest speaker, Kevin Drabinski, who's the public information officer for Caltrans District 5. He did a very detailed presentation on the work being done on the Rat Creek slide, and they're estimating the reopening could be July of this year. Since then, it was in the Tribune that it could possibly be the end of this month. So there's a brief update to that.
Wow. There's actually an announcement today from Caltrans that's April 30th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just that few hours ago. Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay. I would just like to say that his presentation is on the NCAC website that has the slides and the pictures of what's being done for the repair. I also want to let people know that elections are coming up from the uneven numbered areas for NCAC representatives and alternates, and those areas are Park Hill, Lodge Hill east of Highway 1, and Lodge Hill Central, which is east of Pine Ridge, west of Benson and Berwick, south of Ardis to Strawberry Canyon. And you can go to the NCAC website if you're interested. The next NCAC website meeting will be April 21st. The guest speaker will be Craig Ufferhide. I hope I didn't butcher his name here. He will be doing a presentation about CERT and how to volunteer to become a member. And that's the end of that. Would you like me to submit written copies of my full reports to OSANA to be put in the minutes, or
if you have them available in written form, by all means. Thank you.
I do. I just didn't have them in time to submit them prior.
I understand. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. I don't see any hands additionally. So that would take us to move on to item 7, future agenda items. Do I hear any future agenda items from any directors? Okay, Director Dean?
Can we put on a future agenda discussion of about how to do the comments on these ad hoc and liaison as far as what is particularly, you know, when the meetings aren't in time to get the report in?
Right. May I make a suggestion? Would it be satisfactory for Vice President Howell and myself to have a conversation initially, and one or the other of us touch base with you also just to gather some information? Mm-hmm. It may be something that could be resolved simply rather than having to go to an agenda review meeting and just be brought forward as information for the president's report or something like that. Would that be acceptable to you?
Fine with me. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Vice President Howell, does that work for you?
Yeah.
All right. Agenda items. Director Farmer, I believe your hand was up also.
Yes, thank you. So with regard to a future agenda item, I don't want to make this statement any longer than it need be. However, I went to the district website today under the assumption that I could find water-saving tips and water-wise landscaping ideas there. And whereas I could find water-wise landscaping ideas if I went to look for it, I didn't really see any way of immediately assessing water-saving tips. And I feel as if this should be, we are a water and sewer services district first and foremost. And considering the circumstances that exist with regard to drought conditions, not just in our, well, in our area, let's just leave it at that, that we should make available at our website water saving tips, what to do, what not to do in our community. And I think it should not just be at the website, but we should consider, and I realize this will be an additional expense, but we should consider either putting something with regard to water saving tips in the bi-monthly billing, or do it something specifically, you know, set a little money aside and send out a notice to everybody in this community that they can put on their refrigerator door with regard to the importance of saving water at this particular time. Also, and I realize a lot of community members here are already doing that, but with there are people that have just moved here, and in, let's say, the last couple of years, they might not be as highly educated or intended as much to save water as those of us that have lived here for a while. So everybody needs to be on notice of this. And also, if I could just say, with regard to...
Is there an agenda item that you want to... is it an agenda item?
And I am right to getting to, with regard to water usage, not just among the residents, but among the businesses. From what I'm hearing, more tourists are now arriving in our community, whether it be the restaurants or whether it be the motels. And I think we need to give some consideration to the amount of allocated water that needs to go to commercial as well as residential, and maybe reduce the water usage of commercial. And also, like I said, educating the people that visit here with regard to the climate crisis that exists. I realize that people come here to enjoy themselves, but this is a new decade and a new reality as to how we're living. And people need to understand that we need to conserve water, whether you're on vacation or you're at home. So somehow we need to address that, I think, as a future agenda item with regard to the availability of water to the commercial interests in our community, like I said, as well as making everybody aware of the need to use water more wisely. Thank you.
Well, it sounds like a part of what at least you were discussing had to do with communication. And one of the elements of our strategic plan had to do with that, and potentially with the website. And I think that probably being able to make the website more robust in the way that you were describing is an excellent recommendation. And I think that that's something as a recommendation, you know, to GM Weigold and to those involved with that strategic plan element, to find ways to be able to implement that to make it more visible as part of who we are as a community to those who come to it and to those who live in and work here.
If I could also add this, and maybe I'm a little taking up a lot of time here, but just like you say, on the website, just make it more visible, you know, water saving tips. And I believe that Director Dean at some point has brought this up, you know, what not to flush down your toilet. Because okay. We are essentially, more than anything, a water and sewer services district. And anything we can do in those two areas are really important.
I think that we can move that to something as an action within staff and as part of the strategic plan. I don't hear an agenda item that yet.
That may not be an agenda item, but it's something that I think needs to be addressed.
I agree, except we're discussing agenda items, future agenda items, Director Farmer, and we're trying to work through that.
I should have mentioned at the beginning of the meeting.
Yes.
Yes.
Better late than not at all.
No comment. Vice President Howell, I believe you had a...
you actually...
And you are... Yeah.
I was about to raise a point of order. However, to President Farmer, if there isn't a... It didn't sound like I wasn't hearing an agenda item, and yet I think there is one in there somewhere. So maybe if you could think about it a little more and get back to us, maybe President Steidel or me, then we can put it on an agenda. But it, right now, I haven't heard an agenda item.
But, well, let me just say this. I think it's about addressing water usage in the commercial.
Excuse me. Do not talk over me.
I was answering your question.
Well, I hadn't finished, and I hadn't even asked a question. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get a little hot there. I do feel that what you are saying is important, and you do have a very, very important point. But as an agenda item yet, I am not hearing it. So that's why I was just inviting you to discuss that with me later, and maybe I can bring it forward for you. But what you said today is not an agenda item.
Director Dean, did you have something?
Just real quick. It is a future agenda item in May for the committees that are working on the objectives to the goals to make their report. And I am the lead of a committee working on water conservation, water supply, and how to get that information out to the public. So this is something that we are working on and will be on the agenda, I believe, in May. And it will also be discussed at the R&I meeting on April 21st. But I think it's already planned for an agenda item. And if I just make, this is not an agenda item, but if I just may make a quick response, I went to the website today to look at the water conservation. I had no problem at all. I went to water conservation. Under water conservation was drought resistant landscaping and frequently asked questions and other tips. And that's part of what the ad hoc committee for that strategic plan objective is working with and how to get that information out there. So it is an agenda item for May on the board and April for R&I.
Okay, excellent, thank you. Hopefully, Director Farmer, that will provide you with some feedback and insight for the actions that are being taken that you feel aren't being taken right now. Director Gray?
Yeah, and just to amplify Director Dean's point, I'm on an ad hoc committee that's working on the website and trying to get things, you know, much more out there, the essential information out in front of people more easily. And we're working on that as the same kind of thing, like to get the essential information up on top. I had, three short items, I guess, in terms of requests, more on the order of directing staff to prepare information rather than formal agenda items. I wanted to just, I'll just run through them. First is the, just today, I think the governor had a press conference announcing a deal, an agreement in the legislature for a $536 million package, legislative package for wildfire prevention and protection, incorporated in two bills, AB 79 and SB 85. I would like to direct staff to come back, hopefully as soon as possible, to find out what aspects of that funding might be appropriate for us to seek. I noticed there was some money, for instance, for fire hardening old houses, and I have a feeling there's quite a bit of forest health funding as well that's floating around in those two bills. I haven't looked at the details of them, but this is just something that came up today, so it'd be good, I think, for us to jump on it and find out what the opportunities are. That's one. Another one is, I think, to follow up on what Director Dean was saying about the problems of getting reports in, maybe we should, staff should come back again and report on what would be the possibilities of, for instance, having the staff, the committee and liaison reports at this first meeting of the month scheduled instead of having at the second meeting of the month. In other words, shifting and see if that would have any positive effect on the ability of, say, Director Dean in both of her positions to be able to submit a report. And also, if it would be possible to have sort of a, you know, this covers Osana's responsibilities, to get a report in a little later than, you know, basically have a slot there where a report can get in a little bit later to the agenda if it doesn't violate the Brown Act, that sort of thing. So look at these possibilities that can be done.
Right.
Pursued.
And I will say that was the intent that I had suggested with Vice President Howell and myself to have that conversation. I think your recommendation that you made just now in looking at segmenting those pieces of it, and if by possibly staggering it differently within the first and second meetings, that that might help resolve some of that. So I think that that as an item is something for President Howell and I to discuss. So is there anything else that?
One more thing. This is a request of probably from the engineer, the for Mr. D'Enzo particularly. But I get lots of questions from people about is there enough water? You know, what's the water supply look like? You know, the coming down this summer, and I was curious if there's if we could get a little report on what possibilities there are and what resources are available now and what might be put into place in the future to forecast the condition of the aquifers during the dry, you know, into the dry season. For instance, do we have a way of, you know, using upstream sensors or any of these things that might be possible so we get a really clear picture, a clearer picture of what the aquifers will be like, say in August, September, November, in October, November, because it's a question a lot of people have, and I don't know what kind of resources we have now for forecasting.
We've got what I don't know how many years stacked of tracking over those months that's reported.
We have tracking, but it's, you know, it's a pattern, but everything, but yeah, if we can improve that in a real time way, you know, so that's just my suggestion.
Well, if there's anything that's something that potentially, Mr. Weigold and Mr. D'Enzo can discuss. I don't know whether it's an agenda item formally to come back at this time. I think all of these are
Information.
You know, are potential actions or things to gather information about, but I don't necessarily see them as agenda items at this point. Director Dean?
I just would like to mention that R&I is going to have a special meeting on May 4th to discuss water supply and demand and the six stages of drought. So that might be a time for that information to come forward.
Right. And it occurs to me also that the UWMP probably will be a good piece of that. Vice President Howell.
Most of this discussion would have been better at the earlier board communications issue. Future we can do that. But I also want to point out and remind everyone that individual board members do not direct staff. So if you want, as a board member, if you want staff to be directed, you need to bring it before the board, and it does need to be a motion. Mm-hmm. You know, individual board members do not direct staff. It's clearly in our bylaws. Now, you can ask, an individual board member can ask the general manager for information, and the general manager may refer the board member to some other staff member. Mm-hmm. But in no case should any of us be directing staff's work. It's strictly a board function. I just want to remind people of that.
Yeah. It's
very clearly laid out in the bylaws. But Mr. Gray, you raise really good points and are certainly worthy of discussion, but it's inappropriate at this time to direct staff unless you want to have an actual agenda item that directs staff to do a particular
thing. Yeah. Point well taken, but the wording, perhaps the wording of the future agenda items item should be slightly different, because it says request from board members to receive feedback, direct staff to prepare information and or request a formal agenda report be prepared. So that's in the wording of the agenda item. So if we, if we want to be a little more disciplined about this, we maybe have to be a little less open-ended in how we describe this item.
I agree with you. I totally ignored that. Mr. Cornell, is there any problem with changing that wording?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So something for us to consider in our next agenda. But Mr. Gray, Director Gray, those are excellent. Those are all excellent. And
I would hope, you know, this is a request to whoever, but I would hope we do get some, get a pretty quick read on what the state wildfire protection program might mean for us, though, because I mean, there might be some real opportunities there.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming GM Weigold, that you will take the opportunity to pursue that. Excellent. Thank you. All right. So anything additionally from anyone? So I will move to adjournment then at 4:01 p.m. Congratulations wow. to us all.
We set a record, didn't we?
I think so. Thank you all for being here. Thank you so much to the attendees who were here and participated with your comments and interactions. And thank you, board and staff. And we are adjourned.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Everybody have a lovely weekend.
Thank you. You too.